and I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Again, that's James chapter 1, verse 22. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves.
Good evening. If you're not already turning there, go ahead and start turning to James. And we're going to start in James chapter 2. James chapter 2. I want us to read from that text before we really jump into the meat of this lesson. Over a month ago, I was blessed to be able to be at High Rock Bible Camp and serve as a counselor there. I try to do that every single summer, and it's such a great work that is done there. It's kind of what introduced me to the church. It was where I was baptized, where I became a Christian. And so it always has a special place in my heart, and I love to go back there. And this past summer at Teen Week, the topic that we discussed was the book of James. The idea was practical Christianity. What are practical things that young people can do in their Christian walk? And in these lessons, we looked at different things, and the topic that I spoke about was social favoritism, the idea of showing partiality in the Lord's church. We live in a broken world. That's not a secret, especially around election time. We see divisions start coming up, and we start getting angry with people that maybe we wouldn't have gotten angry at otherwise, over stupid political things like that. I'm not going to say that the world is any more evil today than it has been in the past or thousands of years ago. I think it's more prevalent in the media, and we see it more often. So sometimes it sticks in our mind, and we think the world's getting worse, it's getting worse, And we look and we say, since the world's getting worse, how can they know 2,000 years ago, the struggles of today? Well, I think James chapter 2 is so relevant to our context today and showing partiality. And that's why I really wanted to get in here and talk about this section of text. So if you're in James chapter 2, I want to read verses 1 through 13. I want to read all of it. Every point that I'm going to make this evening is going to come directly from the text. So I want you to pay attention to God's word as we're reading through it together. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I want to go ahead and preface this lesson as we're getting into it. I'm not picking out anyone here at Central or our congregation as a whole. I think we have a very loving congregation. But we understand in the greater context of the world, this is a problem. And I think this is a great lesson to go back and look at what James says about this so that we can go and teach our friends these biblical principles. In the first century, just like today, there were polarized conditions that governed society. People were either rich or poor. The idea of a middle class really didn't exist in ancient times. You were either very, very, very wealthy or very, very, very poor in most societies. You were either slave or free. You were a Jew, you were a Gentile. You were a Greek or you were a barbarian. However, part of the good news that we have in Jesus Christ and the gospel that was being preached then, just like it is now, was that those barriers were being broken down. Their strength was being lost. Paul wrote in Galatians 3:28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ." He also wrote in Colossians 3:11, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." But it took a while for this truth to sink in. Even to those people who were becoming Christians during this time period, even Paul himself had to receive and have this message confirmed by an angel whenever he was going to the house of Cornelius, when Cornelius was converted in Acts chapter 10. And it appears that whoever James was writing to, it was still apparent that partiality was being shown in that context as well, because he makes a point to point it out in James chapter 2. So I want to examine some things about the sin of partiality. As it manifests itself in the Jewish context, as I mentioned, it was more about Jew versus Gentile. This became such a problem. The idea of, okay, we know that Gentiles can become Christians. Now the question is, how far do we accept them? Do we have them in partial fellowship with us if they're not willing to be circumcised and keep the law? Do we welcome them into full fellowship with us and not have to keep the law? There was a lot of questions being thrown around. And it became such a contentious point or topic that there had to be a Jerusalem council convened. And we have that in Acts chapter 15. And that was pretty much the sole purpose of that council. And of course, they determined the Gentiles didn't have to obey the law. They would be accepted in. He gave them some things that they should do, abstaining from things sacrificed to idols, to blood, things like that, from sexual morality. But other than that, they would be welcomed in with full fellowship. Even some of the apostles themselves had problems and not showing partiality. Even Peter himself. We don't know if it was before or after the Jerusalem Council, but in Galatians 2, Paul tells us that he had to withstand Peter to his face. They were sitting there eating together, and Peter had been eating with the Gentiles, which was a sign of fellowship. A Jew did not eat with Gentiles. That was forbidden. So he was doing this, and all of a sudden some Jews of the circumcision party show up, and Peter starts withdrawing himself, not wanting to get close to them and eat with them. Paul noticed this and pointed out the hypocrisy. So even sometimes the great theologians, the apostles themselves, needed to be corrected, that this barrier had been broken down. Today we can also be guilty of showing partiality. Partiality is a fancy word for saying favoritism. We can show partiality between the rich and the poor. We can give preferential treatment in our assemblies based on apparel. We see someone walk in and they have a nice suit on, a tie. We welcome them in. Come on, come here, sit in a nice seat. James actually mentions that very scenario. We have someone come in wearing an AC/DC t-shirt and some nice cut-off cargo pants. And we're like, ooh, don't they know they're in a house of worship? Maybe they don't know any better. We can be very guilty of showing partiality if we're not careful. Also, in showing hospitality towards people that we know can pay us back. We look at a friend who we know has means, and we say, you know, I'm going to help that person because, you know, they deserve it, number one. And number two, that later down the road, I'm going to be in trouble, and I know they can pay me back. But we might look at someone and say, man, you know, what's the point in helping them out because, you know, they're never going to be able to pay me back. We can show partiality in that way as well. This is becoming a big national topic. We can show partiality between people of different races based on the color of their skin. We can even show partiality by who we choose to talk to at our services. Sometimes, and I'll say I'm guilty of this, sometimes I want to find my friend group and I'll sit there and I'll talk to them. And sometimes I won't get out and try to find someone I don't know and talk to them. We show favoritism when we're willing to talk to people we know, but not willing to talk to people that we don't know. So why is the sin of favoritism, of partiality, so dangerous? It's because the idea of being biased, being prejudiced, being racist is so prevalent, and often it goes unnoticed and it goes unchecked. People think that's really not that big of a deal. But we know it's very prevalent in our society. And so James's words are very relevant and worthy of our consideration. So I want to get right into the text, and I want to talk about why Christians cannot show partiality. Point number one, from verse one, Jesus Christ is a glorious Lord. You might be thinking, you know, what does our showing partiality have to do with the glory of God, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? As Christians, we are professed followers of Jesus. We are his disciples. 2 Corinthians 5, you know, we are ambassadors for Christ. Christ, or God, is making his appeal through us. So, as such, our actions are to be considered by others as a reflection of what Christ teaches, right? So when I'm out here, I'm acting, I'm saying things, and they know I'm a Christian, they're going to think that that's what the person I serve teaches as well, right? So if we show partiality as Christians, if we leave the impression that Jesus Christ is partial, he's prejudiced, he's biased, he's racist, we will taint the glory of our Lord because we are his representative. So we need to be very careful because the glory of our Lord can be tainted when we show partiality. We can't show partiality because Jesus Christ is a glorious Lord. Number two, from verse four, we can't show partiality because when we do, we become judges with evil thoughts. God has always hated an unjust judge. There's parables about this. We can see the kings of Israel who were, in a sense, judges of the kingdom, who were bad kings, more bad than good. Jesus himself warned about judging. Matthew chapter 7, we're all familiar with this. Judge not, lest you be judged. Because how we judge, we measured back to us. We know that judging is not wrong in and of itself. You know, John 7, 24, you know, we need to make our judgments righteous judgments. But we can be very careful not to judge by appearance, but make our judgments righteous judgments, is what John 7 says. So if we judge against the poor man or poor woman due to our prejudice against them, we will find ourselves fighting against God. How often do we find ourselves determining in our minds who is worthy to hear the gospel? I'm sure many of you know who Wayne Miller is. I respect him greatly. He was a preacher at State Street for years. He was at West End for a while, and now he's down at Mount Juliet, I believe. He came and spoke at one of our men's meetings a couple years ago, and he said something that stuck with me. He always had these little turn of phrases that kind of stick with me. And he said, God does not call us to be soil inspectors. He calls us to be seed sowers. When you look at the parable of the sower, you'll notice that seed is everywhere. It's on the rocky soil. It's by the wayside. It's on the good soil. It's on the bad soil. It's not our job to go and look at the soil and say, oh, this person here is worthy of hearing the gospel, but that person, they're not quite there yet. They're not really receptive to it. Number one, because we're bad soil inspectors. Because a lot of times the people that we think aren't receptive to the gospel are going to be the most receptive to the gospel. It's our job to go and preach the gospel, because if we don't preach it to everyone and show partiality in that, we have become judges with evil thoughts. Number three, we can't show partiality because when we do, we despise those whom God has chosen to honor. Both then and today, God has chosen to honor the poor, the unwise. First off, the gospel was proclaimed to the poor. Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to read from there real quick. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. It says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. He chose, and when he's referencing little children there, he's talking about us. He chose to reveal it to us, the unlearned, the uneducated. We learn from the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain, blessed are the poor, Luke chapter 6. And look up poor in a Bible commentary. Often the poor, or a Bible concordance, and go to the verses that reference the poor. Usually they're praised in the New Testament for their faith. They're the ones who hear the gospel. They're the ones who come flooding to Christ in repentance. Even though God has chosen to honor a poor man, he has chosen to honor all men as well. God does not show partiality. Acts chapter 10 tells us that. So when we show partiality because of someone's race or because they're a stranger we don't know, we despise those whom God has chosen to honor. And he has decided to honor them by offering the gift of salvation to them through the gospel. And the question is, do I want to stand guilty of that on Judgment Day? To say, I decided not to tell that person the gospel because I didn't really think they would be that receptive. God says, I chose to honor them. I offered them my salvation. They are worthy of your time if they are worthy of my son's sacrifice. And that's another question. How do we decide who is worthy of our time? Well, going back to the last point, we'll look at someone and say, look at this person. They have made mistake after mistake after mistake. They've made a wreck of their lives. And this person over here, you know, they're a good-hearted person. I mean, morally, they're all Christian but in name. God still loves them. He loved them so much he died for them. He has honored them by offering them the gift of salvation. I was alive during this time, but I was too young to really, I don't remember it. But I've looked back and watched several documentaries about it and read up on it. Jeffrey Dahmer. We all know that, or a lot of us know that he became a Christian in prison before he was murdered. Not much long after he became a Christian in prison. Suffice it to say that Jeffrey Dahmer did some pretty heinous things. It was a big national, I don't know, basically everyone in the country knew what was going on. They knew how heinous these crimes were. It was all over the media. Everyone hated this man. They couldn't imagine someone would do something like this. Well, it's kind of interesting that he became a Christian because an older woman began to send him some mail correspondence. Something like World Bible School stuff. And he started studying, and he got in contact and said, I want to be baptized. They contacted the nearest Church of Christ, and they got the preacher to come out. And I've always heard the story that he was baptized. And it's like, oh, it might just be a story. You know, I never heard anything to verify it. And then one night, randomly on Netflix, I come across this documentary about these crazy serial killers. And Jeffrey Dahmer was one of them. And it starts interviewing the minister. And it shows him at his congregation, which was a mainstream Church of Christ. They're sitting there singing a cappella. They're taking the Lord's Supper. And he's talking about how he was contacted and asked to go talk to Jeffrey Dahmer about becoming a Christian. He said he went in there. He knew the scriptures already. He'd been studying. He said if anyone had been repentant, it would be him. He understood that what he'd done was wrong. He went in. They had him ready in a tub. He only could come in for a second. He baptized them, and he had to leave. Such a high-profile case. The security was very tight. It took a lot of planning to get the baptism to be approved. I applaud this minister for understanding that even though Jeffrey Dahmer had done those heinous acts, he was honored by God. God chose to offer salvation to him. The sad part, and it makes me mad some, makes me want to come to tears sometimes. He said that when he decided to do that, over half his congregation left. They could not accept that he had went and baptized someone this bad. Because sometimes in our minds, and these, I'm sure, are great people. But even great godly people sometimes are more partial than God is. So I applaud this man and what he did in reaching out to Jeffrey Dahmer. So if a man like Jeffrey Dahmer can become a Christian, anyone can. Our next point, number four. We can't show partiality because when we do, we honor those who are most capable and likely of oppressing us. James does not have very kind words for rich people. When you go to James chapter 5, it says, weep and howl. The rich seem to weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon them. Not because they necessarily had the money, but because they put their hope in that money. The rich were doing this in that day. They were the ones that when push came to shove, they were the ones that were going to oppress them. The people that can oppress are the ones that have the resources to do it. They would most likely be a majority, and they'd be affluent, be able to take you to court if it came to that. A lot of times we want to look at someone, and I've been very lucky to know some wealthy people, and there are some great people even here at Central that have plenty of means that are extremely humble. And a lot of them, I'll be 100% honest, I didn't know they had pretty good means for years. because they don't show it. They're not gaudy. They dress modestly. They have modest homes, but they give a lot. And so it's not a sin to be rich, but it definitely is a stumbling block. And it can be a stumbling block if you allow it to be. But when showing partiality to a rich person, we might say, okay, you know, we have this rich person here, but think how much money they can give if they're members here. Think how much money they can give and how much more money we're going to have in our treasury if we're nice to them. But the poor person is like, you know, we're glad you're here, but, you know, you really can't, you know, give them monetarily a lot. You know, we have a great facility here. I love it. And we're paying it off, and that's great. But if it ever comes to the point to where the bank has to come and take our building, that's fine. My hope, my faith is not in wealth. It's not in material goods. It's not in a building. It's in Christ. He is where our faith lies. We cannot show partiality because we begin to honor those who are capable and likely of oppressing us and not honoring those whom God has chosen to honor. We can't show partiality because when we do, we break the royal law. Verses 8 and 11 from James chapter 2. That royal law is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is a direct quote of Jesus Christ from the Gospels. This is one of the most fundamental laws that has ever been given. It was proclaimed in Matthew chapter 22. It was taught in Romans chapter 13. I actually want to read from that real quick. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And any other commandment is summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Continuing, as James emphasized, breaking even one law, we become guilty of the entire law. Because you may say, like, okay, I might show a little bit of partiality here, but I'm not a murderer. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not going out doing a lot of these heinous acts. To show partiality is to make one as guilty as if they committed adultery or murder. That's what James is saying. If you commit the sin of partiality, it is just as bad as if you committed murder or adultery in God's eyes. And this illustrates just how terrible any sin is. And one thing I like to say, and I'm sure y'all have heard this, and it goes along with showing partiality and treating others and loving your neighbor. You know, imagine tomorrow, if tomorrow everyone treated you the way you treated them today. That's a good way to look at loving your neighbor as yourself. The last point I want to make: we cannot show partiality because one day we will be judged by the perfect law of liberty. Verses 12 and 13. This law refers to the law of Christ, the gospel, the good news. A law that has set us free from the bondage of sin through the mercy that was shown in Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, I want to read from there real quick. Verses 31 through 36. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone." That's kind of funny, because they definitely have been enslaved to plenty of people over the centuries. Continuing, "How is it you say we shall become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And the law also sets us free from those man-made restrictions. Colossians chapter 2 talks about this. Verses 20 through 22. "If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch," referring to things that all perished as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. So if we apply these man-made restrictions upon our brothers, like showing partiality, and we do not show mercy towards them, then no mercy will be shown towards us. We cannot show partiality when it comes to the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Key verses from James. James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And in view of all these things, we understand why James would say, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons, with partiality. We can understand Peter's reasoning in Acts chapter 11 when he says, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And we are more likely to heed the prayer and the admonition of Paul in Romans chapter 15. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. To my brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that we serve a glorious Lord. We serve to do things to His glory. And I pray that we never allow sin of partiality, of bias, of prejudice, of racism, to taint that wonderful glory in any way. And if you have done something, whether publicly or secretly, God is just, and He will forgive if we seek Him in repentance and seek His forgiveness. For non-Christians, we notice that in the text of James, it talks about even the terribleness of even one sin. Verse number 10. And in verse number 12, there is a fact that there will be judgment one day. I pray that you accept the mercy that God offers to you. He has chosen to honor you and offer you salvation if you will accept it. God is not partial. He does not show favorites. He doesn't care what color sin or color skin you have. He doesn't care how much money you have in your bank account, what kind of car you drive. He wants all to come to Him. One of my favorite accounts of conversion is in the book of Acts, and it's the Ethiopian eunuch. We have Philip, the minister, going along, and he's being led by the Spirit to meet the Ethiopian eunuch while he's on the road going back home. He had just come from Jerusalem where he was worshiping. While he was in the chariot, he was reading from what we would call today Isaiah 53. And Philip shows up, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I understand if no one explains it to me? And of course, at that point, Philip preaches Jesus to him. And it seems abrupt that the eunuch says, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And for years and years, I thought this was a rhetorical question. I was just like, well, here's water. What's going to stop me from being baptized? But the more I looked into it, the more I realized, he was a eunuch. According to the law, he couldn't enter the temple. He could go to the temple. He could go on the outside and offer his sacrifice, but he can never quite be in full fellowship with Jews. He could be a God-fearer, he can serve the true God, but he can never be fully accepted as a Jew because of his condition. So I believe when he saw this water, he was asking a very sincere question. After being on the fringe of Judaism, here's water, is there anything hindering me? He said, if you believe, you can. And they immediately went down in the water where all those social barriers are broken down. Where you come out, where everyone is one in Christ. Galatians chapter 3. This will be our final verse that we'll look at tonight. Verses 26 to 29. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. If you believe, if you repent of your sins, the idea of changing your mind, if you confess that He is Lord and you enter the watery grave of baptism, That is where those social barriers are broken down. Because in Christ, there is no partiality. And we as Christians should live and act like that is the truth. God has offered us two choices: judgment without mercy. We're all sinners condemned by the law. But he has offered us a way out. He has offered us judgment with mercy. We deserve the first, but why not take the second? If you have any need whatsoever tonight, I ask that you come as we stand and sing.